Welcome to B2B Mad in Brum podcast. Impromptu tonight, we've got a very, very special guest, Martin Grainger. Yeah. Hello, Martin. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me.
Right, first things first, your book is out. Yeah. Would you like to tell us about your book?
Yeah, it was. I was approached by Paul Ryder, and there's a Midlands-based writer called Rob Careless. They approached and said, would I like to do a book? I was a little bit, would anyone buy it? You know, so you've got that part of it. And yeah, we've gone from there and it's gone well, to be honest.
So we're at the Macadam Social this evening. Quick four questions before you go and do your Q&A. So you were the original goal scoring fullback. Yeah. Couple of stats, 7 goals for Brentford in one season.
Yeah.
24 for Blues, 226 appearances, I think. What made you so prolific?
I think I took a lot of set pieces, obviously, like penalties and free kicks. I think my record is 1 in 10 in my career, which for a fullback is pretty good. And I didn't really miss a penalty, so I come to Birmingham. I missed 6, so I could have had a lot more.
No important ones,
yeah,
is it?
Well, yeah, cup final one, wasn't it? But everyone remembers AJ, so I get away with them.
Yes.
It's just one of them. I was always, as a kid, I was a left winger I had a pretty powerful left foot as a youngster, and it just spiralled on, and I used to practice and all that, and scored a few goals, a few good ones.
So how did that work out? Did you get moved back one day
because I got slower. As I got older, I got slower. When I was a kid, I was a winger. I used to jump out of tackles and all that, but then that changed, went back, and in the end, people were jumping away from me, you know, so it was going from I wasn't a jinky winger, but I was a winger that didn't really like contact, to an absolute lunatic as left back.
So you started at Colchester.
Yeah.
And then you got the move to Brentford and then to Blues. How did you find the transition from each of those?
Every step became more professional. When we was at Colchester, we had like this training kit in the middle and used to just pick up holy socks and all that sort of stuff. And the facilities wasn't great. And then you went to Brentford. A little bit similar with a training kit and stuff, the facilities. But when you come to Birmingham, you become more professional. You had a fitness coach. You had chefs at the training ground. I just think each step, the professionalism went up. And it sort of, the jump in the standard a little bit, but not too much. So I coped all right with that.
You talk about the professionalism there. We just mentioned the different managers you played for.
Yeah.
Barry Fry for one, Trevor Francis as another. What were your takeaways from the different managers?
Well, Baz was one of them. He'd just light up everywhere. You could hear him on the training ground. You'd hear him up on the field. He'd be one of them. He'd motivator, brilliant. Tactician, not so much. He had coaches and that, but he's someone you'd run through a brick wall for. Like I said to you earlier, he'll grab you around the throat and be screaming in your face, but then buy you a drink afterwards. Trevor, a little bit different, I think, because he probably had a different path in where he was as a footballer. He was a million-pound player and stuff. I think Trevor took more away from the game. If we'd lost, it would affect him a lot more, and it would... Barry would be like, right, on to the next one. Trevor, I think you'd stew on him a little bit, and it showed that the characters were completely different.
Yeah. So take us back to, we mentioned one of the penalties that unfortunately didn't score. So the cup final, what's your memories of that before David Ellery absolutely robbed us?
Yeah, well, Premiership referee,
don't they? Too soon.
I was confident in taking it, but I've only ever watched it once.
Really?
Yeah, because if now it would have been retaken, because Vesterveld was about 2 yards off before he went to the... I hit it really well, but obviously he read me, which absolutely broke my heart. I mean, Jeff also was like, I was in floods of tears. I was sobbing my heart out because my kids are in the stand. You think you let people down?
Yeah.
But then AJ missed and he sort of took the pressure off me a little bit, because everyone remembers him and not mine.
Yeah.
But it's not a good feeling, because you feel like you've let a lot of people down, but I still won't watch it.
But to be fair, I mean, we were lucky to, it didn't feel like we were in the game at all, did it? And then with them scoring so early, and then it just kind of ran, didn't it? We, from the stands, it didn't look like we were going to get anything out of it.
We didn't really create too much. Mm-hmm. I mean, we was in the game, but not creating too much. But, I mean, the goal that Robbie Fowler scored, it was just, that's what a proper striker. It wasn't even looking, you know. One bounce, volleyed it over Benno's head. Luckily, we got back in the game and really should have given us another penalty. Whether we would have scored it, but it's another matter. But he did rob us of it. I mean, it's a clear penalty. I mean, even before AJ had gone down, I think Hippie had high boot and kicked me up the arm, so it could have been another one, you know. But yeah, we did feel robbed, but yeah, I did feel a little bit let down at the end. Horse was laughing at me in the end. He went, leave me all. He said, give over. I was gone. You know what I mean? It just meant that much. I was gone. But we laugh about it now.
Yeah. I mean, and we talk about, move on to happier times. So that kind of period of your playing career, 2001 PFA Team of the Year,
yeah.
Obviously the cup final, promotion the following year.
Yeah.
What are your memories of that period at Blues and in your own career?
I mean, that's one of my biggest accolades is the getting voted by your peers to be in the Team of the Year, which that was a big honour for me. And it was that period I played in lots of different positions as well. I didn't just play left back. I think I played right wing for 6 games, you know, and you're thinking, well, if I don't play very well, I'm playing out of position. I played every position apart from in goal back here for a certain period of the time. And I think that's what won me. I think I won about 8 awards that year.
You versatility.
Yeah. It was just one of them. That's why in the end I think I got on a team sheet early a lot because...
You were in 3 different positions.
Yeah, and I would just play anywhere. And that's how, in the end, Trevor sort of had the faith in me because he knows what he was going to get every week, you know. It did take a while, though, because he did call me a pub player a couple of times. when he first come in.
Really?
Yeah, the lad said. Because I think there was 3 games on the trot. I think I give a penalty away. I got sent off and I scored an own goal in 3 games. And then one of them, the lads went, he was calling you a pub player. And I was like, you know, but then I thought, I'll turn this round. And then I reference it in the book. There was a guy at Swindon. I got up to warm up, went to warm up and it was our own fans. And he went, no, Granger, sit down. Oh, don't come, mum, don't come. And I was like, right, I'll show you. And that was that changed my career. So if he ever come about, I'd like to buy him a drink.
Okay, don't tell him it was you.
But yeah, he was slaughtering me, and I was thinking, but then, you know, I just thought, I'll show you that I can actually play.
And that was kind of the run of form of your life, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which tags into the Premier League, super promotion, first time in however long we enjoyed it. That first season something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I only managed to, I think I was involved in the first 6 games, and is it the first 6? And the manager said, look, because contracts went up a little bit, but they didn't go up massively. And I would, just before that, in the summer, I was supposed to go to Blackburn. We put a decent offer in, and it didn't happen. And some lads were saying, don't play, this, that and the other, because you're not giving me a new contract. And Brucey, to be fair, said, after 6 games, we'll give you a proper contract. 6th game, I've done the patella tendon.
So yeah. I had heard third party before we came today that, Wasn't it something along the lines of 10 times what you were offered, what you're on at Blues that you're offered at Blackburn?
Times. It was probably triple. 30 years ago, it was a lot of money. You know, but they said, I went back to the club and asked, I said, look, bring that with the higher earners, obviously, at the club. Again, I got told to do one by whoever was the chief executive at the time. I don't want to give it too much airtime, but so then they said, put a transfer request in, the lads. Don't refuse to play, but I just wanted to play football. So I didn't. I just got on with it. And then Brucey said, look, I know what went on. We will reward you this, that, and the other. And it obviously never transpired because I didn't really come back. I think I was involved 8 times after that over an 18-month period. Kept coming back, this, that, and the other. So, yeah, got there and sort of sunk as we got there. That's why the book's called Cut Short.
It's quite a way to sink, though, wasn't it? So that Man United game talks through that. I was saying from the stands, we saw when you got injured originally and it looked like quite bad.
I mean, I come back from Coventry, I was on loan, and I got on the bench and a stand come off of a hamstring, I think about 14 minutes. So 4 minutes on, I think it was around 4 minutes, and we had a free kick. So I took it and it And I thought, crunch in front of my knee. And I thought, oh, that's not right. And it hit me in the shins. It didn't go anywhere. So I was limping. And I think, oh, I can't go off now. I've just come on. Just come back from injury. And I knew something weren't right. And then we got a free kick, I think about 43rd minute. And Brucey was screaming, "No, oh, you take it." And I was thinking, I can't take it. So I took it. Luckily enough, it went in. And then the rest of the history, I never come back out. And that was the last time I played. Yeah, so still hurts a little bit because I wanted to know if I was actually good enough to play at that level. Pace-wise, probably not. But the cards say I was 90 pace. So, but ability-wise, I thought I could handle it. It was just
100%.
I was going to say, how did you find the step up each time? Because from the Championship to the Premier League, like you say, speed, whatever, but you were never sure in a challenge. You never looked off the pace.
No, I mean, if I had to wrap the ball between two or three people, bang, bang, out, I could do it. If you knocked it in a corner and we're sprinting, you're beating me. But then I used to get myself in a position where that didn't happen. But our first game at Arsenal away, Brucey coming afterwards, how'd you find it? I said, I hated it. I said, we're good players, but we needed extra to help playing against world-class players, and you're forever chasing the ball. You know, I used to say to my dad, I said, look, I could play, mate. You get so much time. And you got Vieira closing you down in three strides, you know. And I was probably one of the fittest at the club. I was dead after 70 minutes. It was so that's why could I have done a full season? So that's what got robbed of me. Whether it would have worked out or not, you know, I would have gone on and played somewhere else. But I just wanted to know if I was good enough to play for a long period, you know, but it didn't happen.
So, happier times or happier memories. We were talking earlier about that night. So I was going to ask you before we spoke, what is your standout memory of playing for Blues?
People go, oh, it's a bit cheesy, but the atmosphere, that ground every week when it was full, I've never played anywhere like it. I mean, I was lucky enough to play in front of 87,000 twice at the Millennium. And we referenced earlier, like when we played the semi-final against Ipswich, I could still hear it now. And it's still, after the air's just gone up in the back of my neck now. It's just ridiculous. And it's the support they got. And people say, oh, you go, you say about the supporters and you're like arse licking and all that. You're not. It's just them supporters. It's how supporters off and that. Yeah, you got to experience it. And that's every week. And even at times when you ain't so great, they're still there, you know, because they don't expect too much, which they should because they're huge.
Well, this is kind of the turnaround in mindset now that that United are trying to push through, isn't it? But it's always been traditionally, if you wear your heart on your sleeve and get 100%, you'll be idolised.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, it's like anything. If I'm playing to go and watch you play football, I want you to give me everything you got. And majority of the people that we had at that time when I played did. There was very few where you thought, you're not quite doing it, but you got an extra 10% from the stands. And I always say that, excuse me. And it shouldn't drive you on, but it helps. I mean, like I said to you earlier, the Ipswich game, we'd won that as we come out, just for the supporters, because you knew.
So tell us about your goal again. Tell me about...
Yeah, that's probably, like I said earlier, it's probably the only person I've ever outpaced is Jeff Horswood. And I got to it. Luckily, if it popped up in the end. But then he chased me down a line, pulled me on the floor, and he nearly done my cruciate, my knee turned backwards. But yeah, that was just rocking after that. I mean, he was rocking before it, but once that went in, it was just like...
Richard Wright air kicking at the end. That was just the icing on the cake, wasn't it?
And then AJ slots it in. It's just... I don't think there'll ever be another game like that at St Andrews, ever. I mean, even now. I mean, I know they're building something really good there. And I hope they do it a little bit slower than they want, because then you get sustainability. You don't just want to go up and come back down. Hopefully, they will bring back the real good times there and beat that shit up the road.
So we talked as well about your favourite opponent or your worst opponent or person you liked or didn't like playing against the most. Who would that have been?
That would be Mr Muscat.
Kevin Muscat.
Yeah, he's just, don't get me wrong, I was no angel on the football pitch myself. I loved the challenge. But I don't think I really, maybe on the rare occasion I'd go in and probably him. That I'd want to stick one on, but he would go in and just try and do you anyway. You know, I mean, he's just, to me, that's cowardry, you know, and he even done it to Stan Lazaridis, his mate. But yeah, he was not on my Christmas card list. And my game used to go the ruin planning and things, because I was just out to try and get him. You know what I mean? So, which as a 53-year-old man now talking about it is a bit childish.
Well,
but
it's a big part of Roy Keane's book with Alfie and Gahalan, wasn't it? It's something people hold him in high esteem for. Oh, well, he got him back. It is a part of the game, isn't it? Or he was. Yeah. Not so much now.
I never really managed to get him that bad either. You know what I mean? So he was quite fortunate. But yeah, he was not for me. When he ended Matty Holmes' career, that challenge was disgusting. But I mean, I've had a few bad ones in my time. I've put on people, never ever gone into intentionally hurt anyone. It's just the way I played. If it was there, I was going to try and win it. If I took a bit of you, then that's what happens, isn't it?
It's part of the bonus of being a defender, isn't it?
Yeah,
that little
not sauce. Anymore. Not no. anymore. You can't even. No. You can't do nothing, can you?
You can't.
I mean, there's no derbies of any passion anywhere, is there?
They're all swapping shirts at half time, aren't they?
No, it isn't.
But the Manchester derby tomorrow, isn't it? There'll be no needle in it at all.
No.
Sunday.
Nothing. Don't get me on that.
Right, so I know, again, it's not a positivity for your book. I don't want to talk too much negativity. But obviously, you've touched on it before, the previous ownership and the way you were treated.
Yeah.
With your testimonial, etc. Mm-hmm. After the way you were treated, was there ever any issue with encouraging your son into football?
No.
Who obviously, he's a goalkeeper himself. Did you ever?
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole new story we could write about that, because he got done over by someone. But both my kids played football. One obviously played professional, the other one was just Sundays. But no, I just. It's good in a way that a dad's played, because he knows what goes on at football clubs, and what some of the stuff that's happened to me is happened worse to him. But it stands him in good stead at the end. You just think, why people like that? You know, it still makes me angry now though, when I'm thinking about it. I could say a lot more, but I'm not going to, but.
But this is the thing, isn't it? Even for yourself, you don't want to dwell on the negatives, do you?
No, it's not. I mean, tonight's it's a night about the book and the people that have helped me do the book and celebrating that the family's here and all that. You keep going back and it keeps making me angry. But,
yeah.
You know, it was a time where it shouldn't have happened. It did. Certain people should have helped more. They didn't. And it is what it is, isn't it? You can't.
Did you go into it a bit more in the book?
Yeah. Yeah. Without putting too many names in it, I blame the people that owned it, chief executive. I mean, the job offer they offered me. I mean, Brucey come in with an A4 piece of paper, full up with what they was going to offer me, coaching in the academy, this, that, and the other. Get a phone, you get a car, you get this. And I was like, okay, no problem. Come back, and a week later, there was just one line across the top, and they offered me £11,000 a year to be a coach at Birmingham. And I'm like, come on.
A year?
£11,000 a year. That's what Karen put to me as an offer, as a job. So I said to him, you can stick it up your ass. And I never went back for 5 years to the club. And I kept getting asked, and I just was like, no. And it's not the supporters' fault. I was just felt a bit of resentment, you know. And then what went on with the testimonial as well, and I just thought, you're not helping me out here at all.
So just for anyone that doesn't know, I don't want to dwell, but that is something that's worth noting. Because obviously a testimonial, traditionally, somewhere where you're acknowledged by the fans, not playing anymore, you get a little bit of money.
Yeah.
What happened with your testimonial?
Well, she said, well, I went to meet Karen, and she said, the fans want you to have a testimonial, but we're not going to help you. You do it all yourself. And I was like, well, how do you organise a testimonial? There's a guy coming tonight, actually, Mick Flaherty. If it wasn't for him, there wouldn't have been one. And at the end of it, I was given an international fortnight in February. I think it was February. The team was second from bottom in the Premier League, so people were paying money to come and watch. I think I was thankful for the 4,000 odd that turned up, but really, it should have had a pre-season game. It should have been full. I've never really got an official way to say goodbye. I thought that got robbed of me a little bit. And then in the end, she gave me a bill for just under £7,000 to play on the ground, you know, for the lights, what stewards were there, staff and all that. And I was just thinking, you're collectively worth £1 billion, you know. For me, coming from a council estate back in Enfield, you value a lot more. £6,800 is a lot of money, isn't it, to a lot of people. So I had to write her a cheque for that, yeah, which was And I just thought, thank you. You know, we got you, not me, we got you into the Premier League and all that money you earned, and you still wanted to charge me to play where I called home for 10 years, 9 years, you know? So, yeah, that.
And just one last thing on that kind of tone, because I heard it on your previous podcast with the Blue, the Tilt and Talk lads before, yeah. Regarding seeing Sullivan in the tunnel 4 years in.
He didn't have my name. Yeah, and he went, I don't know if it was like another boardroom guy. I hadn't seen him before, and he was going, I'd won man of the match. I was going up to the thing, and he was like, I went, it's Martin Granger, chairman. And he went, that's it, and just carried on walking. I was like, I've only been here 4 years. Yeah, you know what I mean? Didn't even know the name. That's what you're dealing with. Are they football people?
No.
They say they are, but they're not. You know, to be fair, God rest his soul, David Gold, although he could have done a little bit more when I finished, he used to come in the dressing room before the game and after the game, wish you good luck or unlucky lads next week, shake your hand before the game. Him, he distanced himself here, didn't want to know. He was an odd character. But them two sort of worked well together, didn't they, him and her?
Yeah, well, us West Ham fans, I have a slightly different opinion, but
yeah,
that is what it is, isn't it? Okay, so just finally then, before you get to your evening, do you have a message for Blues fans that obviously, like you say, we didn't get a proper goodbye, did we?
I just thank them for everything they did for me. It was a rocky start for me. I wasn't one of Trevor's signings. I didn't have the particularly good games when it first started, but I thought I turned that round, and I didn't play for the football club. I played for the supporters because they drove me on to be like that. And I used to go in the Trevor Francis bar afterwards because I wanted to be with people just like myself, you know, from my background, where I was brought up. And I just thought I was on a level with everyone else. And I can't thank them enough for that.
Excellent. Well, good luck with the book.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for your time.
Cheers. Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.